And we're going to look to the story of Hosea. Now, if you brought a Bible with you, I encourage you to turn with me to Hosea chapter 1, or if you're following along on your phone, because what I would like to do is I'd like to put a video on the screen as I'm reading God's Word, because I'd like you to feel and I'd like you to picture what's being said in our text in a very modern-day illustration, so that hopefully the words of Hosea come to life for you. Hear the word of the Lord from Hosea. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day, I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel." Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer show love to the house of Israel, that I should at all forgive them. Yet I will show love to the house of Judah, and I will save them, not by bow or sword or battle, or by horses and horsemen, but by the Lord their God." After she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. The Lord said, "Call him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted, in the place where it is said to them, 'You are not my people.' They will be called the sons of the living God. The people of Judah and the people of Israel will be reunited, and they will appoint one leader and will come out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. Say to your brothers, 'My people,' and your sisters, 'My loved one.' Go, take for yourself an adulterous wife and the children of unfaithfulness." Depending on your translation, it says, "Go take for yourself," or "go allure an adulterous wife." Could you imagine having that experience in your life? I mean, being told by God that he wanted you to marry a prostitute, to marry someone that you knew would be unfaithful to you. I think not only this story, but I think of that story. And I wonder if I could even forgive. Maybe once, maybe twice, but a third time, a fourth time. I suspect most of us would want to get even. We would want to make that person pay. We would want the world to know all of the harm that they have inflicted on us. But to allure them? I mean, are you kidding me? I don't think I could do it. Could you? It's hard to imagine. We're going to see a map come up on the screen. We are in Samaria. It is the capital city of the northern kingdom. And it's there that God speaks to Hosea. And he says that he wants him to go after a woman named Gomer. She had squandered her purity so many times. I wonder what it was like to have this moral man This righteous man, this man of genius, the heart of a hero, the passion of a poet, the purity of a saint, come and to share with you his love and his affection. It's 720 BC. King Jeroboam II is on the throne. Never had the sun shined so brightly than when they got to the promised land. Never had they sit so contented as in the time of Solomon. Civil disputes had come to an end. They were at peace with their enemy, Syria. They had homes, summer and winter. Their homes were adored with the nicest of things. And it's here that Hosea comes on the scene to speak to the people of Israel. And he's telling them that God isn't happy. That they, like Gomer, had cheated on God. And God was going to deal with it. And so he began to speak of the judgment of God. He began to speak of inviting them to come back and to respond to God. But they thought that he was bigoted. That he was narrow-minded. That he was a spoil sport. That how could any of this been wrong, because God had blessed them with so many things. But things were beginning to go downhill. They were beginning to fight with their brother Judah. 6 kings in 20 years had been assassinated. When you became king, you were ready for that dagger to come out and to take you down. The enemy was getting closer. And yet political, spiritual, and moral chaos just seemed to be abounding. I don't think it was only in Israel. I think it's today as well, don't you think? I mean, anything seems to go. Our government has just put legislation in to lower the age of majority. Trial marriages are the common thing. Racism, not only in the United States, but in Canada, is starting to hit alarming rates. There is a negativity in the political system. Just look at the American election. You can see the dirtiness of it. And they say it's coming to Canada. We live in an age where anything seems to go. If you were to ask Hosea what was going on, he would begin to say it was faithlessness. Robinson says in his writing on this passage that the wedding was beautiful. No one saw a reason why Hosea and Gomer couldn't be married. They were both children of the covenant, weren't they? The ceremony was beautiful. There were tears in people's eyes. You could hear the vows being said, first by Gomer and then by Hosea. But already in the vows, you knew there wasn't trust and there wasn't commitment and there wasn't going to be faithfulness. One was moral, one was amoral. One was committed, one was shallow and surfacey at best. In fact, people said that they had already seen her with another man. And she just chuckled. When he gave his affection to her, she ridiculed him publicly. She didn't really want it. But remember, it's a story, isn't it? Between us and God. It's like a marriage. There is one on this side who is good and faithful and holy and righteous and gracious and forgiving. And on this side, it's not only Israel, but it's us who are disobedient. Maybe half-hearted at best. Who look at the love of God and maybe pick and choose what we'll take from him. And there we hear the words, "Go take for yourself an adulterous wife." Maybe you see the modern day version of that from a few years ago in of a movie called Pretty Woman, where Richard Gere plays this rich businessman and Julia Roberts plays that of a prostitute. And what I love about that is never do you see him ask for anything, but all he says is this: as long as I'm paying you, As long as I'm taking care of you, I simply ask that you be faithful, that you don't be with anyone else. That's all that Hosea asked for, wasn't it? He says, all that I ask is that you're faithful. But you can already see the story beginning to unfold because they're not even sure that the first child is his. And he names the child Jezreel. God will destroy. And then there's another child, and he's not sure it's his either, and it's Lo-Harama, which means I will not show pity. And then there's Lo-Ami. You are not mine. Could you imagine having that name? God will destroy. I won't show pity. And you're not mine. And there you see the brokenness and the bitterness in the story of not only Israel, but in Hosea's life. Each and every day, those children would be a reminder of her unfaithfulness. Because you know what's coming next. There on the table was a note. I'm out of here. We'll see you later, Gomer says. I'm going to go back and I'm going to live the life that I had always lived. And by the way, I never loved you anyways. And oh yeah, I'm leaving you the kids. And so Hosea would need to put the kids to bed that weren't his, that were a reminder of his wife's infidelity, that were a reminder of the brokenness and the bitterness that was underlying. And Gomer goes off, and she begins to live the lifestyle that she had lived before. Undoubtedly, she was lured by the exotic food, by the fine clothing, by the lathering of gifts from whatever man would come her way, to the enjoyment that would come her way. But it's not just her, isn't it? I think of our day. In the world that says, you know what? You want to go have an affair? Go ahead and do it, is what our world says. Where we go into the wild partying life of college or university life. Where we spend ourselves into debt to simply give up the image or the appearance that everything's good. We fill our lives with idols in order to fill our lives with what we really need. And like Gomer, I think it's very easy for us to begin to realize that that path, which may seem here, always ends up down here. We always up in a place where we're empty and we're broken and we're needing more. And yet, Gomer wants nothing to do with it. And there in the midst of her being in the pit, Hosea comes back on the scene, and our text says this. Are you the man that's living with Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim? What's it to you, you can see the guy saying. What's your problem? And he says, I'm your husband. You can already picture the conversation, right? Well, she obviously doesn't want to be with you because she's with me. And you know what Hosea does next is remarkable. He says, I want to give you some gold and some silver. And I want you to take care of Gomer. I want you to make sure that she's provided for. And so he gives the man to whom Gomer is living with money. He doesn't tell Gomer that it's from him. Why would he? And so he showers her with all of these gifts, and she showers him with all that she has to offer. And here's what we read just a little later in the text in verse 9 in chapter 2. But she has not acknowledged that I was the one who gave her new grain and new wine and oil, and I was the one who lavished on her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Two words keep coming up. Faithlessness and love. For 60 years and 7 kings later, Hosea had been talking about the love of God. But what I love about this text is that we find ourselves in the story. If we're tempted in this moment to sit on the side of Gomer and judge her, I remind you that we've all acted that way. Maybe we've all looked at a woman that was more than, hey, she's good looking. Where we put God on the side for pleasure, where we filled our lives with everything that is left us empty. Where we said yes to Jesus, but not to what he asks. I don't know if you're thinking what I'm thinking, but all week this one verse kept coming back to me. Anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery within his heart. It may not be a woman, but it may be a thing. It may be a desire. It may be a replacement for God in our lives. And I think that rings true for us. And there's a connection here to Romans chapter 9, where our passage says, it's a direct reference in Romans 9, you are not my people, but by the grace of God, we will be called children of the living God. Brian Bushier, whose picture will come up on the screen, writes this. His own people, his particular people, his chosen, loved, and favored ones, whom he cherished as the apple of his eye, who were graven on the palm of his hands, whom he loved with an everlasting love, even these he led through the wilderness. It is the one of the Lord's sweetest truths that so perplex that those who are without, but which are full of consolation to his own children, that the wilderness and mercy are linked together of God in indissoluble union. I will allure her, says the Lord, and I will bring her out of the wilderness and speak comfortability under her. You see, the story of Christmas is God's relentless love for us. That while we were far from God, that we were rebellious, that we were Gomer in the story, God says, I love you so much, I'm going to send my son to enter into the world. And he comes into the world as a child. And ultimately he gives his life for us on the cross, which we'll soon celebrate. That while we were yet far, God says that his grace is sufficient for us. Mark Driscoll picks up on that theme when he writes this. God's loving kindness, the consistent, ever faithful, relentless, pursuing, lavish, extravagant, unrestrained, one-way love of God. It's often translated as covenant love, loving kindness, mercy, steadfast love, loyal love, devotion, commitment, or reliability. It refers to a sort of love that has been promised and is owned. Covenant love. And here's where you see the change in the story. Because Gomer is at the bottom pit of life. She's now with a man, we're not sure how many she has been with, who now wants nothing to do with her. The allure of having her around has been gone. And so he's about to sell her as a slave. Everyone would be there. You could already see everyone from his congregation saying, could have told you so. How didn't he see it coming? Didn't he know she would be unfaithful? And yet there at the auction is Hosea. Now, I'm not an auctioneer, but you can already hear it going, do I hear 10, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40? Come on, I hear 40. Do I hear 50, 55, 60, 65? I hear 70. And all the way along, Gomer's hand is up. I mean, Hosea's hand is up. And for 15 shekels of silver, he redeems Gomer. And here's what he says. I simply ask that you be faithful. I have redeemed you. I want to conclude with the second part of that video. This morning, we've just set the tone for the rest of the story. The rest of the story, if you know the Bible at all, is the story of the love of God coming in human form and coming to dwell among us while we were yet far away. It's a story of a love of God who goes to a cross and dies for you and me, because this isn't for perfect people. This is for people who are broken, who are hurting, who are hungering, who are in the need of grace. And so as we will eat, if you made a statement in faith of, in Christ, this is for you to be fed and nourished and reminded of the grace of God. This is the reminder of you and I hearing, I love you so much that I pursued you, and not only to the cross, but to the grave. And I went to heaven and I poured out my spirit that you may hear the story of the love of God in action. So this morning, my hope and my prayer is that wherever you are in your walk with God, that as we participate this morning, that you will be nourished and you will be reminded of how much God loves you and how much God desires your affection and how much God desires a relationship with you.